We are now at about the halfway point in this campaign. And what stands out is, and I say so with some trepidation, how little stands out. Trepidation because the nut graph or the kernel of the argument is the frontrunner's inability to define this campaign so far. That is not something you expect from a Narendra Modi-led campaign. Since Narendra Modi and his BJP first rose, say from 2012 onwards, when it became evident that he will be the party's prime ministerial candidate going ahead, they have defined the terms of the competitive politics in India. In 2014, it was the call for Achhe Din or better times for all and a 56-inch chest and Lal Aankh, angry red eyes for enemies, namely Pakistan and China respectively. In 2019, it was a clarion call on national security and a changed approach to it, defined as Ghuske Marenge, will kill the terrorists slash enemies inside their homes. For 2024, though we now head for the third of the seven phases, a theme has not yet emerged for the BJP. China is totally missing and Pakistan mostly so, as if those dangers have completely disappeared or faded away for now. None of this distracts from the fact that the party, that's the BJP, remains front runner by some distance. That is why its diffidence in settling some consistent and durable terms of engagement in this context is intriguing. This might indeed be the reason voting percentages have been lower this time, and the summer hasn't even begun fully yet. In fact, these two phases have taken place well in February. The next five phases will take place across all of May, the last one on June 1. So that will be the real heat. So if heat is the reason why fewer people are coming out, it's a bit difficult to understand because the summer, as I said just a minute back, hasn't even fully begun. And also that the previous several elections were also held in the same summer months. Or could it be that people see the lack of a contest which makes it unexciting? Like the anticipation of a one-sided cricket match between two vastly unequal rivals. When the result is so easy and safe to anticipate, some people might say, or many people might say, why bother going out to vote? If you speak with the BJP RSS people and Modi government supporters in general, as I did over some travels in Bengaluru and a little bit to its south last week, this apprehension is widely expressed that our voters, that is the BJP RSS people, say that their voters maybe have already presumed that they are winning. So many of them might think it's not worth their while to go out and vote, because what difference will a few more votes make if they are already winning? Anybody who's followed Indian elections over a length of time, however, will tell you that this is almost never the case. In fact, voter enthusiasm, the excitement on the street, is often the highest in wave elections, which are very easy to call. There is a sense of anticipation, a better future, sometimes even vengeance. For all of these reasons, 2024 is turning out to be an unexpectedly themeless election. In fact, a relatively tame election. The big surprise is that Narendra Modi, the greatest conjurer in our national politics, has not yet presented a theme for this election, a consistent theme, or a thread that can run through phases 1 to 7. Already, until the conclusion of phase 2 this Friday, he and his party have presented new themes and moved on. Some not even lasting a week in the campaign. It is also remarkable to what extent, at least in the past 3 weeks, the BJP campaign has been defined by opposition. Opposition to the issues set by the Congress. It hasn't been the BJP setting the agenda, it has been the BJP attacking the Congress party's agenda. It is generally an unlikely thing for a deeply entrenched incumbent and a front runner to keep reacting to the challenger. When it comes to the Modi Shah BJP, it's actually deeply uncharacteristic of them as well. The BJP has worked hard to earn an entirely deserved reputation as a party consistently in campaign mode. Campaign 2024, therefore, began on the theme of Narendra Modi leading India to a much higher global stature than anybody in the past. The unspoken comparison was with Jawaharlal Nehru and Indira Gandhi. The pathway to it began with the gates of Bharat Mandapam, which hosted the G20 summit. The entire show was choreographed to project Modi as the new leader of the world and acknowledged by the heads of the most powerful states to be so. Of course, this set piece received a setback with the failure of the plan to collect the Quad leadership in New Delhi around Republic Day, because that would have carried on the momentum from G20 to Republic Day, and that much closer to the elections. And even more so with US President Joe Biden turning down the invitation to be chief guest on Republic Day. Now, what role did Nijjar Pannu issue or saga played here, or what kind of shadow it cast on the G20 behind the scenes, especially between India and the Anglosphere? We don't know. What can reasonably be concluded is that this momentum of rising global stature was, if not broken, delivered a rude wobble. The other plank built during the same pre-election weeks was a large appeal to the woman voter, especially with the hurried passing of the law for women's reservation in elected bodies. The law, with no deadline for implementation, will await the next census in India and delimitation, if that happens. And for all we know, it may miss the 2029 deadline as well. Again, it doesn't feature prominently in any BJP campaign talk, if at all. As the story by Amogh Rometra shows, the party's women candidates in this election are just about 1 in 6 or 16%. The Ram Mandir was consecrated in January, again timed for the elections. And yet, check the last 100 speeches of the top 20 leaders of the BJP across states and see where it prominently features and with how much emphasis. It only popped up on your TV screens this Friday as suggestions emerged that Rahul Gandhi and Priyanka might be visiting the temple. Yet another plank was cut and installed with great enthusiasm weeks before the elections were announced, with the award of Bharat Ratna to two of the most prominent backward caste / rural underclass leaders in our history, Charan Singh and Karpuri Thakur. This was the plank of social justice. We haven't heard much about this since then. For sure, the award to Charan Singh created the justification for his grandson to leave the India bloc and join the NDA instead. But beyond that, we haven't seen much mention of social justice. If you lean back and see the state of the campaign right now, it is defined by the challenger. Although even the Congress people might be surprised, if not flattered by that description. In the past 3 weeks, both parties have released their manifestos. You can note how consistently the Prime Minister mentions the Congress manifesto, raising questions and fears over it, and how subdued he and his key leaders in his party are in references to their own manifesto. Similarly, Rahul Gandhi's 6th April speech at a manifesto release in Hyderabad, where he promised a survey of, and I quote, institutions, society and wealth, followed by a revolutionary process of distributing it fairly. He didn't use the word distribution or redistribution, but the implication is clear. And this distribution was to be among the quote-unquote 90% who are left out. How that has defined Modi's campaign since. Of course, he's taken the fears to ordinary women, telling them that they could lose their Mangal Sutra and Sridhan, as the Congress would loot them in their lives and after. Zindgi ke saath bhi, zindgi ke baad bhi, that LIC jingle. If Congress was voted to power. The latest came after Sam Pitroda lit the inheritance tax fire. Whether or not these fears are justified is an academic point. Unless you think, midway in this campaign, that the Congress has a realistic chance of coming to power. Most Congress people and their opposition allies will be flattered by this, because they would tell you on the sidelines of this campaign that their most realistic target is to hold Modi below that 272 mark. That's why Modi's approach to this election, despite the odds favoring him so heavily, is intriguing. He's setting it up in terms of the fears of Congress returning to power rather than his own 10-year track record and the promise of a Viksit Bharat in 2047.